Grace, mercy, and God's peace be multiplied among you today. I'm going to talk on the epistle lesson today. You've all got your bulletin insert. I don't always print these, but when there's something interesting, I try to put it in there. I could have talked on the Old Testament lesson easily. I could have talked on the gospel lesson easily. All three of these texts today have some very interesting things to say to us. The Old Testament talks about how it doesn't matter what they say, you go and talk to them, and when you're done, they will know that a preacher was among them, a man of God. That right there is a powerful verse. The New Testament lesson, where it says Jesus could not do anything among his people of his hometown because they did not have faith. That's another powerful message we could talk about. So many interesting things in our lessons today, but I picked the epistle lesson. How many of you have watched Home Improvement over the years? At least one episode. Okay, well then you recognize this picture, right? Picture of Tim the Tool Man. So, you know then that Tim the Tool Man, played by Tim Allen, would go out into his backyard and Wilson was kind of the person he would get his advice from. Or maybe Wilson would just give advice even if Tim didn't want it. And you never saw the bottom half of Wilson's face. I don't know, maybe the very last episode they showed it or something. I'm not sure about that. But for years you never saw anything below Wilson's nose. You didn't see his mouth, you didn't see his chin. They would show him in a restaurant, and if he was walking by in a restaurant or something, if he wasn't behind the fence but some other place, he would have something held up in front of him or some strange thing. Well, you still know that he had a chin and he had a mouth. You still knew it was Wilson, even though part of him was hidden. Well, in our epistle text for today, Paul seems to be acting, in my opinion, kind of like Wilson. He's trying to hide. He doesn't really want you to know him. He doesn't want to refer to himself directly. But I still believe that we know Paul is talking about himself when he talks about, I knew a man who went to the third heaven. Now, you don't have to agree on this, and there are some theologians that will say, well, we don't know that for sure. In my opinion, I believe Paul is talking about himself when he talks about this man who went to the third heaven. Well, if this is so, why does Paul not just use the first person, singular, I, me, and refer to himself and say, I went to the third heaven? And I think it's likely just to show simple humility. This is true throughout the Bible as a literary device, as a form to demonstrate humility, and I think it's even true among us today that oftentimes, don't you listen to someone who says me and I a lot, and you kind of walk away with the impression that this person kind of likes to talk about him or herself maybe a little bit too much, and you're a little bit suspicious about how proud they are of themselves? And I think it was true back then in the days of Paul and Peter and Jesus. And so I think it's simply he talks about himself in the second or third person as this man who went to the third heaven as a matter of humility. That's all he's doing there. Well, what is the third heaven? Folks, have you thought about it? Now, we've got some pictures here. By the way, you've all not got the same picture in your bulletin. You look carefully, some of you will have this picture and some of you will have another one. These are illustrations that I got offline off the internet that show these levels in heaven. But what is the third heaven? Well, interestingly, it's not just the Christian faith that talks about the third heaven. It's talked about in the Jewish faith. It's talked about in the Islamic faith. And that should be no surprise because much of what the Prophet Muhammad put in the Quran actually comes from the Bible, Old and New Testament. So this concept of a third heaven is in other religions as well. It's not unique to Christianity. Well, there's a number of theories rolling around out there. The first one I call the ballpark model when we talk about the third heaven. So, you know, when you go to the ballpark, if you got the big money, you get what? The box seats, right? Or if you got maybe a little bit less money, you at least want to get up close to home plate, right? Maybe behind home plate, you get into the bleachers around home plate or something. And then if you're not really feeling it in the pocketbook, you're way up there in the bleachers looking out over left or right field, right? So you got three levels in the ball field. Well, one model of that talks about this third heaven is kind of like you've got three levels of heaven. You've got the very top level up there where I don't know who goes to. You've got a middle level, and this third heaven in some people's mind is kind of like sitting in the bleachers looking out over left field or right field or something. So there's that model that they pitch. There's what I call the physical or location model. That's more of like what you got in your bulletin here. Okay, and I'm not going to go through the pictures. They're just there to kind of pique your interest. But the next model, the location model, is like the first heaven would be the sky that you see when you walk out in the morning or at night. The second heaven would be outer space, the universe beyond the sky. And the third heaven then would be this other place that we commonly refer to as heaven in the Christian faith, the new Eden, the new creation, a whole different universe from the one we live in, and that would be the third heaven. Well, you can see that in these two models, the third heaven is kind of reversed in each one. In one model, it's the lowest level, and in another model, it's the highest level. Actually, what I've kind of believed over the years is that the first heaven was the Garden of Eden. The second heaven is when you come to faith in Christ, either through baptism as an infant, or because you hear the word proclaimed as an adult, and you come to faith that way. And then the third heaven is when you go to the real heaven one day, you die, you're raised up, you go past the judgment seat, and you go to what we commonly refer to in our church as heaven. And that's how I've kind of looked at it over the years. Interestingly, folks, you can believe whatever you want to about this, okay? There is no mandated belief or position that you have to take as a member of this church or even as a Christian. It's what we call an open question, all right? There's no set answer, and it's not a fundamental doctrine or teaching of salvation. What you believe about the third heaven does not determine whether or not you go to heaven, okay? So you're free to believe. You're free to have an opinion on this one. But notice that in all these different models I've pitched you, these three, this place called the third heaven still is where you go after death when you are raised again by our Lord Jesus Christ and you go to join Jesus in heaven one day. It's in that place, right? They, all three models have that in common. So what's in it for us? I know some pastors who avoid talking about these verses. This is one of those great verses to talk about maybe in a Bible study. And I call it a populist verse. It's controversial, it's hard to explain, and it piques people's curiosity. What is this place called, the third heaven? But some pastors don't see it as fitting their agenda, so they kind of avoid these verses when they preach on Sundays. I used to dislike it when my pastor was that way. He was kind of dismissive of the curiosity questions that we all have. You know, you're reading this text today, you're hearing it read. My thought as a Christian was, what is that all about? And if it didn't show up in the sermon, I was disappointed. So, this whole story here in Corinthians, we need to look at it as kind of a parable. It's not a parable, it's a real story. The events happened. Paul did go to some place called the third heaven. Interestingly, he says he doesn't know if he was in the body or out of it, and I'm not going to go down the road of outer body experiences here, okay? We're not going to travel that road today. But it's a real story, but let's treat it like a parable. Let's look at it like a parable, and I think that helps us to understand it better. We talked about parables last Sunday after church in the Bible study, and in parables there are usually a couple, two or three what we call reference points, and they all point to, or they all add to a picture that helps you to understand the main or central point of the parable. So the third heaven is one of those three reference points of this particular story. We've already talked about that. Now we come to the reference point of humility, second point. Paul's humility in telling the account. I think what he's trying to tell us is that he is no more worthy than us. He just happened to be in the right place at the right time, chosen by God, and he got to have this experience of going to this place called the third heaven. And he wants us to know that. That's another reason why he doesn't talk about me and I as he tells the story. And he wants us to realize that he is no better than us, he is no more special, And he wants us to understand that. He is humbled to bring this experience back to the Corinthian congregation, and then, of course, to share it in what we call the Bible today. He wants this experience of his not to point to him, but to take us today and point us to the cross and to grace and salvation and forgiveness and to eternity. Now, so we've got the third heaven itself. It's one of the reference points. We've got Paul's humility, which is brought up. Then we've got the thorn in the flesh. Now, I have actually preached on the thorn in the flesh as one entirely separate sermon from this text, but personally, I don't believe it's the main point. It's one of these three reference points that holds up the main point. The thorn in the flesh given by God to Paul, we do not know what it was. Once again, this is an open question. You're free to believe whatever you want. Some people suggest it was a pet sin that Paul was having a hard time overcoming. Some people believe that he was going physically blind, because there are other references where he talks about him as having problems with his vision. But I think the thorn in the flesh is not intended to punish Paul. And if we have a thorn in our flesh, and we do today sometimes, it's intended to strengthen our faith, and it's intended to stimulate a desirability in our part for a better existence beyond this world. If life was too comfortable here, if there were no thorns in the flesh for Paul and for us, would we really be looking forward to a better place? And so I think God sometimes allows suffering, which is brought upon us by sin, to remind us that there is hope beyond this world. This is not the end of it. So what is the main point that all these three reference points are pointing towards? I would suggest it's that cross. It's grace. It's forgiveness. That is the central point of this whole story today that Paul is telling us. In the other picture in our insert, we see... We must not overthink this, okay? A lot of problems people have with parables is you try to overthink them, and you try to see too much in them. And sometimes there may be four, five, or six points you can look at, but there are only three main points, but you get caught up in the details. And I think the same is true of the story with Paul here today. He doesn't want us to overthink it. He wants us to get to the main point with these reference points. When I started reviewing the pictures in my office, and this goes back to the bulletin insert again, we had our gardening club, come out and do some landscaping for us. Maybe we call it our landscaping club. And I see some people smiling out there because they know that they're in this picture. So I went around trying to take pictures that day, and I did tell them not to look at the camera, just to be natural, but try as hard as I could. I must have had 20 different pictures. I could not capture anyone's frontal view of their face. It was always a side view or the back of a head. If you look at Artie up there, Artie, the hat you were wearing had your face blacked out at all times. I couldn't get a picture past the shadow there.
You got my soft side, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Someone had to look bad in it, Sherry. If it wasn't you, it was someone else. But as I was taking these pictures, this is what made me decide to go and preach on this text today. Because what do you see in the middle? The cross. And you see servants of Christ, and we're all servants of Christ here today, around the cross working. And the cross and God's grace, which it represents, and salvation and forgiveness is in the center. And that's what really led me to go back and work on this text for today. This is a good summary. This picture is a good summary, I think, of what Paul is trying to tell us in this epistle text for today. It's a good visual picture for us to hold on to. The cross, which represents God's grace, is central and sufficient. And we are here to serve our Lord. And our attention or efforts surround him, and they surround the cross and getting the message of that cross out to other people. And you know that cross sits and looks out over the road, right? Are there two out there now? And I found, believe it or not, I saw the cross over here for the first time. I have not seen that cross before. But this cross out here can be seen from the road.
And when Chuck made the bench down there, he carved the cross on the seat.
I haven't seen that yet. Thank you for that.
Yep.
But why do you put the cross out here? So it can be seen. Because you want people to know this is a Christian church that preaches Christ and Him crucified. And a place where people can come and learn about Jesus. And so having that cross up there and that picture that day, which is in here, I thought was profound. I thought it was insightful. But you know, landscaping is hard work, isn't it? Gardening is hard work. I used to never like going out and pulling the weeds out of the garden when I was a kid.
It was in the 90s that day.
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
Yeah.
It's hard work. And sometimes you get tired and worn down. Sometimes you make a mistake when you're a young child and you pull a plant that wasn't supposed to be pulled instead of the weeds. I got in trouble a couple times for that when I was growing up. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes we sin. And the good news is this. We have not seen the third heaven yet ourselves, like Paul has, but we have a foretaste of it. The fact that we are gathered here today to worship our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fact that He has planted faith in our hearts, and every time we hear the word, it grows. That is a testimony to the third heaven yet to come. We do experience heaven here through faith in Christ. And through faith, you can see things you wouldn't see as a non-believer. And so that's part of the good news. Another part of the good news is that although we sometimes fail miserably in conducting the work of our Lord here, we try to live lives without sin, we try to serve others, we try to help in our Lord's garden, bring others to faith, the important point is that our salvation is not based on our humility. Our success and failure before God is not based on our humility, but it is based on the humility of Christ who humbled Himself to go to that cross and to die for us. And we realize just how gracious our Lord is in saving sinners like us. And that brings us here today and sends us out in the world after this service is done. And God gave Paul a thorn, and it wasn't meant to hurt Paul. And if you have suffering in your life today, if there's a thorn in your flesh, it isn't meant to hurt you, but to help keep us focused on that cross, to help keep us focused on the important thing, which is our faith in Christ and what He has done for us. And keep the main thing the main thing. People don't need to see us. They need to see Christ. And that's what really comes out to me in this picture right here. And so, as you depart here today, remember the three legs I talked about, the three reference points, but what are they focused on? What is this picture focused on? It's on that cross. It's on Christ. And that is the reason for being here at Mount Moriah Lutheran Church every Sunday and for the existence of this church. And let's hope that in Sundays to come, no matter who serves you, that message will continue to be proclaimed from the pulpit. But don't just let it stay here. I like the churches where they have a sign over the back that says, "Welcome to the Mission Field." That's a really cool sign. Because when we leave here today, we take it with us and share that grace and mercy with other people so that they too may have the same hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.